Welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's Politically Incorrect podcast topic is capitalism, the root of all evil. Brought to you by eternalaffairsmedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Dark Water, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation to donate.eamedia.online. Or buying some bling at store.eamediaonline. Help keep the truth online. As always, we start with a very brief prayer. And until all this mess ends, that prayer goes out to our nation and the world, to all the leaders of the civilized world, to all the people of the civilized world. We pray, dear God, whose power exceeds all eternity, whose power is now and forever, the creator of all things. We pray that you bring to order all of our great nations, bring to peace all of the great people you put on this planet. Pray you bring them back to you, back to the Lord. Then we see the light. We may all be at peace with one another. And have that path to your heavenly land to sit by your side on our deaths. Pray these things in your precious heavenly name, O Lord. Amen. We have a new sponsor. Yeah, please visit our sponsorships. This is also posted on the Facebook links. So our sponsor is Daryl Wicker, DarylWhicker.com, DarylWhicker.com. Water is essential to the human body. And today, we have many chemicals that are in our tap and bottled water that are causing many health-related challenges. It's crucial to make sure that you're consuming clean, super antioxidant drinking water. We have a new sponsor that shares a water technology that not only helps with inflammation in our body, but also produces the most hydrating water in the world. Go to the link in the description to learn about our new sponsor's premium water technology. And it missed the description today because I had the old description up, but it is Daryl, D-A-R-Y-L, Wicker, W-H-I-C-K-E-R. com, and we'll have that up there on next week's podcast. Slip on my part for posting the wrong text. In any event, now it's true. It is true that people drink way too much sugary sodas and poisoned tap water. Good clean water is God's gift to us. And much better, especially in these times of pandemic when we're all home, putting on the pounds, get rid of that sugary stuff and replace it with good, healthy, clean tap water, God's gift to the world. That said, we'll open up today. My goal today is going to be a multi-part series. It's not going to come necessarily one after the other, but one of the things that I'm very adamant about and been that way since I was a child, pretty much, is the good and the evil of capitalist society. Good and the evil in all human beings to take advantage of a situation, to want more and more and more and more. We look at Hillary Clinton, Warren Buffett, even our own president, Donald Trump. I mean, the guy must have been sent by God, because with all the success he had, why would he want more? Now you see the good people. You see, Donald Trump is giving back his money. It's one of the first presidents in a long time that's given back his salary to the nation, to good causes. But those who can't see that, those who want to see profit in what they do, rather than wanting to give back. Now, like John F. Kennedy said, ask not what you can do for your country, for yourself, but what you can do for your country. It's all about giving back, giving to you, giving to me, giving to the poor, giving to those in need, no matter who they might be. But big business, big capitalists, look only to increase their gain. They have excess money. When they have the excess money, they raise their prices to get more excess money. They build more plants. They build more stuff that sits in warehouses. And it's absolutely ridiculous. They never give back to anything. Truly the most evil aspect is taking from their own employees and not giving back. Now, I've seen a lot of companies that do give back, but they're wonderful. I've seen a lot that just pay minimum wage and don't care. Some give no benefits, some take away benefits. But where is a true evil in capitalism and the free market? And I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail from this, particularly from my friends who are libertarians, some of whom listen to this podcast. But stick with me. Just stick with me on this one. It's a very important point. And I believe people should be free to go out and earn their money. I believe people should be free to start a business. People should be free to set their price and let the free market handle that. The problem is when that becomes a corporate mantra to just make money and not provide for society, that becomes a problem. As I said in Timothy 6:10, there's great gain and godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. Nothing more truthful than that. You know, you have to understand what capitalism is. And then we're going to talk about how capitalism is the ruin to our society, how capitalism is the cause of the situation we're in right now politically in the United States of America, how capitalism begat Hillary Clinton, how capitalism brought Trump to the forefront and put him in charge of our great nation. How capitalism pushed two of the most unqualified, uncaring, and dangerous people into the Democratic Party in opposition to Donald Trump, Mike Pence. Why we all are starving, why our salaries don't keep up with the inflation, why we're censored on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media. It all comes down to capitalism. Now stay with me here, folks, because this is important. To understand what capitalism is, the best source, if you haven't read it, the best source is Karl Marx's Manifesto of the Communist Party, penned in 1888 from a prison cell. And no, I'm not promoting Marxism, but Karl Marx had a great description of, in very concise description of capitalism. Now think about capitalism. Think about what's going on today, because we're going to be referring to this later on in this podcast to explain why this is such a problem. Karl Marx, the capitalist, wherever it has got the upper hand, has put an end to all feudal, patriarchal, idyllic relations. It has pitilessly torn asunder the motley feudal ties that bound man to his natural superiors, and has left remaining no other nexus between man and man than naked self-interest, callous cash payment. It has drowned the most heavenly ecstasies of religious fervor, chivalrous enthusiasm, Philistine sentimentalism, in the icy water of egotistical calculation. It has resolved personal worth into exchange value, and in place of numberless and indefeasible chartered freedoms, has set up that single unconscionable freedom, free trade, in one word, exploitation veiled by religious and political illusions, naked, shameless, direct, brutal exploitation. Now think about that. That's one paragraph, but think about that. The capitalist has taken their greed and need for profit and literally butchered the worker in exchange. Karl Marx, capitalist has stripped it of its halo every occupation hitherto honored and looked up to with reverent awe. It has converted the physician, the lawyer, the priest, the poet, the man of science into paid wage laborers. Capitalist has torn away from the family its sentimental veil and has reduced the family relation to a mere monetary relation. Boy, that's got a lot of power to it. That's exactly what's happening right now. That's what's happening to the liberals. Taking away religion, taking away paternal and maternal instincts, taking the family away, taking your vacations away, taking your free time away. The need for a constantly expanding market for its products chases the capitalist over the whole surface of the globe. It must nestle everywhere, settle everywhere, establish connections everywhere. NAFTA, free trade, open market, CAFTA. This was over 100 years ago this was written. The capitalist, by rapid improvement of all instruments of production, by immensely facilitated means of communications, draws all, even the most barbarian nations, into civilization. The cheap prices of its commodities are heavy artillery with which it batters down all Chinese walls, with which it forces barbarians intensely obstinate hatred of foreigners to capitulate, compels all nations on pain of extinction to adopt the capitalist mode of production. It compels them to introduce what it calls civilization into their midst, to become capitalists themselves. In one word, it creates a world after its own image. Exactly what we're seeing right now, this new world order. The capitalists have subjected the country to the rule of towns. It has created enormous cities, has greatly increased the urban population as compared with the rural, and has thus rescued a considerable part of the population from idiocy of rural life. Just as it has made the country dependent on the towns, so it has made the barbarian and semi-barbarian countries dependent on the civilized ones. Nations of peasants on nations of capitalists, the East on the West. You know, think about the gold mining in Africa, the mining for rare earth metals in China and Russia. This is what capitalism is about. And this was written over 100 years ago. The words are so compelling. I encourage everyone to read this, you know, his Communist Manifesto. The first section is about 20 pages, 15 or 20 pages, and it's definitely worth reading. So it's talking about the capital. I use the word capitalist. They use the word, if you read this, they say bourgeoisie, et cetera. And I've kind of got rid of the old English and just Americanized it for people to understand it better. So if you're wondering. So in proportion as the capitalist, and i.e. capital itself, is developed, in the same proportion is the working class, the modern working class developed, a class of laborers who live only so long as they find work, and who find work only so long as their labor increases capital. My goodness, God, Lord, that is so precious, that and so accurate. These laborers who must sell themselves piecemeal are a commodity like every other article of commerce, and are consequently exposed to all the vicissitudes of competition, to the fluctuations of the market. The capitalist goes to any extent necessary to see that their profits are increased and that their workers cannot become business people themselves. So it also talks about an interesting thing. People talk about what happens when, you know, computers become obsolete, maybe when the typewriter became obsolete, when the computers that were the people, the human computers, became obsolete. Oh, the whole, you know, the market is becoming too many robots in the market. You're going to lose all your jobs. So another thing that he touched on in 1888, the lower strata of the middle class, the small tradespeople, the shopkeepers, retired tradesmen generally, the handicraftsmen and peasants, all these sink gradually into the working class, partly because of their diminutive ability. Capital does not suffice for the scale of which modern industry is carried on, and is swamped by the competition with a large capitalist, partly because their skill, their specialized skill, is rendered worthless by new methods of production. Thus, the working class is recruited from all classes of the population. What he's saying here is that you can be a farmer, but you will become a worker on the farm because the machines will take over the farming, essentially. And, you know, this was over 100 years ago. It's incredible. He also talks about the dangerous class. He calls it the social scum, that passively rotting mass is thrown off by the lowest layers of the old society, may here and there be swept into a movement by worker revolution, its conditions of life, however, prepared more for the part of bribed tool of reactionary intrigue. So what they're doing is these people that have been thrown off and thrown out of the workforce are used as tools to control those in the workforce that would see to improve themselves. Start making too much money, you eliminate the ones that are making more money and bring in these people that are now collecting welfare and unemployment checks. And lastly, before we get to the main topic of the evening, because this is, again, part of the understanding of what a capitalist is and what capitalism is. Talking about the capitalist, the essential condition for the existence and for the sway of the capitalist class is the formation and augmentation of capital. They want to make money. The condition for capital is wage labor. Wage labor rests exclusively on competition between the laborers. The advance of industry, whose involuntary promoter is the capitalist, replaces the isolation of the laborers due to competition by the revolutionary combination due to association. development of modern industry, therefore cuts from under its feet the very foundation on which the capitalist produces and appropriates products. What the capitalist therefore produces above all is its own grave diggers. Its fall and the victory of the working class are equally inevitable. Think about all these retailers that created these great citadels of commerce, these malls and shopping centers. Where are they now? Where's Kmart, Sears, Woolworths, Strawbridge's? Can't succeed. You can't keep taking and taking and taking and not giving back and succeed. It's not the right way. It's not God's way. Now, how does this all wrap up? And what's the whole purpose of this rant today? So a lot of people look at the presidential races, the corruption, and they say, wow, I'm really mad. I'm going to be stuck with the mail-in ballots that are not going to be legal. I can't complain about it on Facebook because they'll shut my account down. Or they'll plaster it with a black piece over top that says it's fake news. Where does all this come from? Let's drill down. Let's look at Facebook. Let's start with that. Facebook advertising in particular, say for Donald Trump. Why does corporate America hate Donald Trump? Why do capitalists hate Donald Trump? You know, the first thing that happens when you start to run for a federal office in particular, or any office other than dog catcher or, you know, local town leader, first thing that happens is your door starts getting knocked on and your phone starts ringing. First, it's the right and the left. Then it's the businesses. And then it's special interest groups. Then it's the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry. They want to know, what are you going to do about our industry? How are you going to help us? Now, how do you go up against the pharmaceutical industry and say, I'm going to cut the prices? And then you're going to ask for a donation from that industry so that you can promote yourself and win your campaign? How do you do that? See, for years, that's all people thought about. When I was running many years ago for office, I was corrupt myself. I didn't care. Send me the money. Send me the money. The more the merrier. See, it doesn't work that way. That's the way corporate America works, because the corporations control America. They control America by pulling the purse strings on the industry, by pulling the purse strings on the politicians. Donald Trump gives his paycheck to charity. Donald Trump, 90% of Donald Trump's campaign donations come from individual donors. $10 here, $100 there, $10 here. Many giving on a monthly basis, some giving on a weekly basis. Joe Biden approached George Soros, approached Bloomberg, approached the Clinton Foundation, Barack Obama, created foundations that donate millions and millions. One of the foundations donated over $100 million just to win Florida. Folks, if that isn't big corporations, big business taking over the campaign and trying to buy it, I don't know what is. And I think in this day and age, we need some laws that say you can't donate like that. I think they need to limit corporations to the same donation level that they limit individuals to. So what about the Facebook campaigns? Why does Facebook block out anything from the right, anything that supports Donald Trump or supports anything that other than what the liberals believe in? You know, Mark Zuckerberg
back in way back in I believe it was February, was actually questioned and said, why aren't you censoring your Facebook? Why aren't you getting rid of this quote fake, you know, right wing conservative lies? And Zuckerberg said, because I don't want to impede free thought. I don't want to impede the will of the people. Suddenly he changes his tune. What happened? What happened is that several large corporations, Nike, Starbucks, Walmart, so we're pulling your advertising if you don't censor this stuff. You know, Zuckerberg really had it in his heart to allow us to have our freedom of speech. Then he took it away. Took it away because the capitalists, the money bearers of this nation, said they're going to pull our ads. Then we had a fellow locally on a local radio station here in town in Bloomsburg. Good friend of mine. Went down to the that big rally down in South Carolina that had all the riots and everything, and came back up. Somebody saw his picture. Now, he was doing a story on this thing on his own, but he was doing a story on the riots down south. And he did another story too. So these two stories came up, and they said, this is right wing. This guy is a skinhead. Well, he's not a skinhead. He was doing research, but he made it to his Facebook page. He was fired. And he was the son of the owner of the radio station. He was fired because he went to a Charlottesville rally to learn about what was going on. And it was because the advertisers came and pulled all the money from the radio station if the owner didn't fire him. This is what happens when, you know, our freedom of speech only goes so far. And I always tell people, you have a freedom of speech, but you are limited. Your freedom of speech means you can say what you want, but there are consequences. The problem is that if there are consequences in your daily life where you can't go on your Facebook social media, where you can't talk to a coworker in the break room, well, I have a problem with that. Because there's no such thing as freedom of speech if you can't speak. And it's happening on a daily basis across the country. So where exactly do you have to go? You have to drill back. So they're censoring social media. They're causing panic in a stock market. They're creating issues with a pandemic that's not as serious by any stretch of the imagination as they're making it out to be. Why are they doing this? See, their products have to be bought as well. And the problem is that the loudmouth, radical, left-wing bigots are threatening the companies. They're threatening the companies to boycott them. You know, the good people always get the short end of the stick. I've noticed this. The righteous, the religious, the people that love each other, that take care of each other, that help your neighbor, get the short end of the stick all the time. It's the loudmouth that always wins. You know, years ago, I had one of the first real jobs I had. I wanted to be the team lead and then a manager of this business. Right away, they take from the bottom of the barrel, this is your manager. We're going to hire managers from the best of the bottom without going through all the ranks. So who became the manager? Not the smart one that had the education, but some loudmouthed, bigoted idiot who, I don't know if it's partly because it was a female that they put in, they wanted in there, or because they wanted a loudmouth that would be able to demean people and put them down. But the loudmouths always went out. You know, the people that want the police defunded, the people that are out there throwing firebombs and burning down towns, they're loudmouths. The loudmouths, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, as the old saying goes. And when that wheel squeaks and heads off the corporate profit, or potentially heads off any profit from the corporations, the corporations reach out to people they do business with. And, you know, Facebook and all these others, your local newspapers, the New York Times, Daily News, Time Magazine, they make money only off their advertising. You don't make money selling newspapers these days, and Facebook is free. So you kind of get what you pay for. You know, I would personally rather pay. I'd rather pay to use Facebook, pay more to buy my daily paper, than have these satanic, evil-spirited, mean capitalists controlling what I read. Doesn't work so much with the little guy. That's the funny part. You know, we have some people up in our area that stand strong. We have a fellow who is he sells electrical and welding supplies, been in business for many, many years in the area. And we're mixed in this area. You know, a college town 10 miles from one direction and then 5 miles in the other direction is a conservative rural redneck town where I live. One day I saw a huge sign in 2016. Saw this huge sign up, this huge image of Donald Trump. The big sign, get your Donald Trump supplies here. Now that takes guts. That takes real guts. This guy put his entire business, his entire life on hold to support the person he believed in. And God took care of him. God took really good care of him through the both elections, even in between. He kept selling this, you know, Donald Trump gear, selling face masks now and little flags and yard signs. The man's a gazillionaire from this now because he stood up for what he believed in and didn't listen to the advertisers and the companies that refused to sell him product because he was supporting what they called a mean bigot, a racist, and all other names. He did really well for himself. Another company did the same thing. There was a guy who has a trucking company. And I'm going to use his name freely because it's public. Wonderful, wonderful individual. And what works out of Scranton, Bob Bolus. Go on Facebook, you'll find him. Go on Instagram, you'll find him. The man who had a trucking business. And he sacrificed his trucks to paint the entire vehicles with advertising for Donald Trump and Mike Pence. Donald Trump campaigns in 2016, goes through 2018 through the congressional elections, drove his trucks around. People love the man. Donald Trump loves the man. Donald Trump got out of his motorcade when he visited Scranton to shake his hand, give him a ride in the motorcade, and get a photo with him. Now, how many people can say they've done that? But big corporations won't lose a penny over that. Big corporations won't sway politically one way or the other. Yet they're swayed by the voice of the mighty dollar. You know, that corporate greed, if you look at the cost of living versus the wages over the past 40 years, 40 years ago, let's go 50 years back, my father raised a family, bought a house in a nice, beautiful suburb, Philadelphia. Paid $11,000 for that house, three-bedroom house in the middle of a rural suburb, and supported the entire family on his wages as a clerk in a city office. A single person. Never in the history of our country have two people had to work to put food on a table and a roof over your head. And there's a couple of reasons for that. There's a bigger workforce, a much more diluted workforce. And I always say, God, please don't take me as a misogynist, because I believe that women are great. And, you know, I'd love to have my wife go out and work and I could stay home. I sure wouldn't mind that. And I think they're very skilled in many respects and very talented. Their thought process is different, more precise. But when you suddenly have women's rights cup, and now you've got the black rights coming up in the 60s, and all these people join the professional workforce, and then you offshore all your industry because it's cheaper. How in the heck are we supposed to survive? Now you've got two people working and maybe a kid too. And you're still in a risk of bankruptcy, losing your house. There are more people living in the streets today than there ever have been, even in the Great Depression. And it's all because of corporate greed for that extra buck that the corporations want to make. That free market, which isn't a free market. You see, when corporations get greedy, they start price fixing. The free market goes all to heck. Take the pharmaceutical industry. Now, here's an interesting one. This is how you have to fight back. But we're too meek to fight back. You know, France will not pay Pfizer more than 10% of what they're charging the U.S. for their drugs. They won't do it, or they won't buy it. They'll do without the drugs. Why do you think that pharmaceuticals are so cheap in other countries? And then because these other countries refuse to pay the price, they need to charge someone for all their costs. They put all the costs on the Americans, even though 90% of the drugs are sold overseas. Then they take all the manufacturing and throw it overseas. So now these people that are getting cheap drugs are getting all the work too. That's not criminal. I don't know what is. And we have a president that's going up against this. A president who's saying you can't do this. He's looking at the prices across the world, if you've not haven't noticed it. He's showing people that France pays $10 for a pharmaceutical, and in America we're paying $100 for the same pharmaceutical. In Canada it's $40 or $50. And that is why they're so angry at them. They're taking their profits. You don't take the profits from a corporation. Rather than a free market, it's a greed market. And corporations have been getting greedier and greedier and greedier to the point where they plan their profits for the next year, regardless of what the economic conditions are. We're in a pandemic right now. People are out of work. We're in lockdown. And a corporation still say our goals for this year were, if we don't meet them, the investors won't like us and our stock will go down. Well, I don't care. I don't know about you, but I don't care how much Pepsi Cola makes. I don't care how much Nike makes. I don't care if Starbucks never sells another cup of coffee to anyone. It's not right. Corporations have become monopolies. RT America had a great story today on Google, about how they become a monopoly. It was a really wonderful story. Yeah, we used to break up those monopolies. We used to break up the monopolies. And now they're put back together. I remember when I was a kid, they broke up AT&T. They broke up Bell Telephone and AT&T and Bell, Southern Bell or something like that. And guess what happened? 20 years later, they put them back together. Well, what kind of sense does that make? Because the politicians have come in and fallen in bed with the corporations. Free market does not work without unless it has restrictions to it. Our restrictions used to be a breakup of monopolies. Our restrictions used to be control over monopolies. With that control gone, the free market goes wild. It's like a wildfire. You strike the match and the whole forest burns down. So I'm going to apologize again to my libertarian friends, to some of my far right-wing Republican friends. But capitalism, free market capitalism without constraints does not work. And it's been proven by the curve since all the restrictions were lifted in the late 70s and early 80s. And that is why I say that free market capitalism is the biggest problem we have in America right now. It's the cause of our economic issues. It's the cause of our price structure going up, inflation going up, wages staying constant. And that is our true problem. We need to look really closely at that. Give a little bit of quick promotion on a book I wrote when I was running for Congress in 2018. The book is the failure of the economy in the U.S. It was based on healthcare. And in that little booklet, it shows all the graphs and the charts. And when you take into consideration the actual value of the money right now, and the actual wages we make and take them in actual comparison, plus the actual unemployment, and that includes people that have left the job market, we're actually in a worse state now, about twice as bad as we were during the height of the Great Depression. But nobody wants to see that. State of the Economy, the failure of healthcare in the U.S. is the book. And all it is government charts and graphs explained from the early 1900s up till the present. You can even see when women got their rights and when blacks got their rights, the change in the economic structure and how corporations, rather than saying, great, we can sell more product, they just raised the prices. So now it requires a two-family income to put food on the table and a roof over your head. Down the road, we're going to look more closely at particular corporations in the future podcasts, what they've done, how bad they actually are, and how their promotion of one world government to support their profits has pushed the left and the right. I mean, it's both the Republicans and the Democrats. They're in on us as a one world order, basically. Some people call it deep state. Topic for another discussion. We've had that discussion in the past as well. But some corporations are particularly greedy. We'll discuss that at a later date as well. Future podcasts. These podcasts occur every Thursday evening from 10 to 10:45. Topics of the day. With the election coming up, there's going to be more issues possibly with the election. So we're kind of short fused. Usually I'll promote the next week's topic than the previous week, but with the way things are going between now and November 3rd and possibly beyond, we are going on a week-by-week basis. So keep an eye out. We post on Facebook. We're always here, and the topic shows up at the beginning. If you like the topic, stick around. Give us a few hearts or flowers and pod beans and whatever else you can, because we rely on your support. I'm just the spokesperson on this particular podcast. It's supported by EA Truth Media, so please support them. Give them a kudos if you like the podcasts. And everybody have a great evening. I'm going to say goodnight for now, and we'll see you next Thursday with the future topics coming up and all of relevance to them, what's going on in America and in the world right now, and why it's being mistold by the mainstream media. Everybody have a fantastic evening. Thanks for listening. Night, everybody.